Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Main Street DSA. I am your host, Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, and here with me, as always on Main Street, is Edna Mode's most esteemed guest himself, the one, the only, Matt Strebel. How are you, Matt?
I'm fantastic, as always. How y'all doing tonight?
Stressful time in the U.S., so we're plugging through.
Yep.
Plugging through.
The only thing we can do.
Yep. But we are going to talk about some DSA, which is always a good thing to get a chance to do every week. So we're going to jump right into that. But I have to ask you again.
Are you ready to raid?
Are you ready to raid, Matt?
I think so. I hope so. As long as I don't need Triton and Eric right from the very beginning, I'll be fine.
So Glue came out today and they told us that raids will be releasing very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
That could mean a lot of things. Yeah. They said it's being called the Forgotten Depths. And one of the things they said they're going to do is they are allowing for a preparation period for clubs to boost members' teams, which I thought was a very interesting thing to say. Recruitment and other housekeeping. The only thing they actually mentioned by name was lowering the club swap cooldown. Which, as we have been participating as a Edna Mode community in a lot of club mergers and swaps lately, I will be honest, that club swap cooldown has been a pain in the butt as a thing.
Oh, yeah. We have, you know, in the last month had two different club expansions and three clubs merge. And every single time having the 24-hour cooldown has been, for those purposes, you know, yeah, a pain in the butt, to say the least.
Yep.
But I understand why they had to implement it, because people were club hopping and taking advantage of coins.
Yeah.
Specifically, and this was a problem in many other games too, in different variations that already contain raids. And this is a preventative measure, which is why the cooldown exists.
Right.
However, to now take it from five different tiers of 24-hour, 24-hour, 48-hour, I think it's 48, 72 after that, and then drop it down to nothing and nothing the first two moves, and then even still only a two-hour cooldown. Look, they're stating this is only going to be for a week or two prior to raids.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they're going to hold to that. I don't think that this is a, you know, a test, if you will, to go back to the old way. I think this is a logistical move, because there are a lot of communities out in DSA, like ours, for example, that are doing inter-movement. You know, we had just earlier today, one of our members from our top club wanted a little bit more of a casual atmosphere and moved into the active club.
Mm-hmm.
But they got restricted and had to time specifically when to do that movement. And there are a lot of alliances or clusters or whichever word you want to go with. So I think this is just an effort to continue to have those communities feel that they have strength preparing for raids without having to deal with some logistical uh-ohs along the way that are just inconvenient. And this is just to appease the community, and a good large chunk of it, I will say, is what I've now come to discover.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it'll be temporary. We'll speculate in a few minutes once we get down to tinfoil hat on what the phrase "for clubs to boost members' teams" means, because that doesn't, the way they worded that is weird. Like, I'm sure it's just literally allow a little bit more time to level things up, but the way it's worded as clubs to boost members' teams, like if all of a sudden I have people who can suddenly help me level my teams because it's going to be the best thing for the raid, that would be a super cool and interesting mechanic. I don't believe it's what's coming, but it would be really awesome if they had figured out a way to make that a thing.
Do you want me to tinfoil hat on this, or you want me
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah. I'm and, like, remind me on it, because I have an opinion on it.
Yeah. No, we'll get there in the tinfoil hat segment. Other news things. The Lion King event is coming back. That is the Scar limited time event. So have your Simba, have your Rafiki, go get Scar. Or if you have Scar, level Scar up. Beyond that, Microbot Mania is coming back. Now that, if people don't remember, and I don't know why you would, it happened once, is the limited one-run hero event. It works the same way like that Aladdin event or the Elastigirl event works, where it's a one-and-done, it's clear. And it's just hero tokens. And if you already have been farming hero, it's not a lot of hero tokens either. It's pretty inconsequential.
I'd be curious to see if they bring it back with some updated extra things when it does come back this week, but I would have expected also to see that being paired into this specific patch notes. I would have liked to see Microbeta coming back with increased rewards or increased, you know, levels and tiers with new rewards, or I don't know, something along those lines would have made a lot more sense. Yeah. But being that the event existed as the release of this character, I don't understand the need necessarily to return the character unless if there's some other master reason underneath it.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have to see if there's been any changes to the event. Because, I mean, like, I was excited when I first saw it and remembered it was the hero event because hero is on my main team, but my main team is a Big Hero 6 Sans Baymax team. I'm, you know, more or less free to play. I pay for VIP and that's it. So I split my grand farm between I do a Go-Go Star, I do a Hero Star. I do a Go-Go Star, I do a Hero Star. I just finished I'll just finish a Go-Go Star probably tomorrow. Then I'll be on to Hero again. I was like, oh man, this is going to let me do both. And then I remembered, oh no, it's not. There's really not that many Hero tokens for me in there. So maybe it'll have some changes. We'll have to see tomorrow. The rotation continues. We had Stitch last week. Triton is coming this weekend. So be in there.
We all expected it.
Yep. Yep. That's how it's going to work until we see another tower. Which I imagine eventually we will. But, you know, right now we only have the two, so it's an every other week thing. Go and get your Triton, go and get your Eric stuff, because they're going to be useful in raids. Whether they're mandatory or not, they will be useful, so go get what you can.
I feel that the next tower event that they will construct is going to be the Hercules event, where you are working towards getting Zeus. But Hercules, they do an event similar to Microbot Mania, where that's how they kind of premiere this character, maybe do it during Christmas time, some kind of promo and pushing the envelope with these ideas, because there's a lot they could do with it. You know, Zeus is in game, quote unquote, in the character list as a support mythical. I think it would be great to have a support mythical leader. That would be sick. And we've all been begging for a mythical leader. So if that happens, I think that would be the best way to premiere those two characters. The same way that they brought out Eric and Triton, they would probably bring out Hercules, maybe put in a, you know, a Pain and Panic, or put in a Megara, or put in Phil. Yeah.
That's where Phil I want the great. Leader to be, personally. I want Phil to have the leader. But I get why it will probably be on Zeus, but I want it to be on Phil, just for flavor purposes.
Understood.
So then we're getting two rune events coming soon. Ferocious Face-Off, which is the Wilds event for runes. I don't remember which kind of runes.
Stones.
Oh, stones.
Ferocious Face-Off, yeah. The stones versus the runes. They're basically, they're still the ability upgraders, if you will, whether it's through offensive percentage or it's through the actual physical upgrade, you know, within your character. If you're looking at Ferocious Face-Off, you are looking at offense, you're looking at recovery, and you're looking at crit power. Okay. If you're looking towards the Intergalactic Rune Rumble, that's your alpha, beta, gamma for the individuals. Right. I liked seeing both of those events and the Lion King event specifically come all out in these patch notes, because that means the full cycle of these specialty events have all happened in a 2-week time period, which further pushes what my personal belief is, which is on November 13th specifically, we will get raids dropped. I think the November 13th, that Friday, Glue's been very good at dropping things and then taking a weekend. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a portion to it. I think that November 13th is very significant to the franchise of this raid, which is based around Ursula and the Little Mermaid, premiered in New York on November 13th of 1989. And they premiered the trailer to Raids with the first initial clip on which Facebook group? Little Mermaid. So I think there's a synergy here about this drop. And oh, and the last part that was brought up to me today, which I think is a brilliant point, if you go into your calendar rewards, the first 2 weeks of the calendar rewards are Stitch and Triton. And the last Triton one is on the 13th. The following week, it goes back to Wasabi and Go-Go. So it, everything is kind of pinpointing down to this one specific spot around November 13th. Mm-hmm. It would make the most sense. And what I hope they do is not release it on the 13th, but they give us access to it on the 13th, where we can start navigating and clicking through. However, it's a 6-day countdown. That's what I would love to see. So that way it happens right towards the end of your conquest or just past a conquest, because the overlapping of raids and conquests, I'm curious to see how it goes.
Well, and I think that raids and conquests will overlap just because conquest has that set period of days, which is too long, but raids you can unlock when your clan has the currency, right? When your clan has accumulated the resources to open the raid, then they can open the raid. And it will be, it will become about clan leadership planning when their clan hits a raid best. I know in MSF and with when I play over there and the friends who play that, that's the way it is clan, you know, alliances over there plot out when they're going to open their raid around you sometimes. Right. So
yeah, because it all is normally time restricted. You have 3 days, you have 4 days, you have 7 days to complete X task or whatever it is. So
yep.
Understood.
And last things in patch notes today were bug fixes. Apparently Baymax wasn't working. Baymax.
Well, they took a broken character and fixed the broken character. So now he's just a fixed broken character because he's so good he's broken.
Yeah, but so's Elsa. They haven't done anything about her. And Elsa's dumb. But so is Baymax.
Yeah, true. But now I will say the 100% speed meter is a big one. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily see it as much because normally you're not attacking the tune that has on that ability.
Right.
So that way when that tune dies, like if you put it on to Elsa, for example, you just said the name, and then you kill Elsa, then Baymax was supposed to get 100% speed meter. And that's not what was happening. It just wasn't working whatsoever.
Yep.
Or passives were getting in the way from other tunes.
Yep.
That's now fixed. So typically though, you're not approaching that tune, you're approaching Baymax or Bubbles or other key tunes first.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, wasn't getting the speed meter, baton, the defense up, weren't working, but those have been fixed or will be fixed when this patch goes live. So now's time for our favorite segment. Well, our second favorite segment, because I actually really like our new spruce up segment that we do at the end. But Mickey's tinfoil hat. Let's start with how hard are raids going to be? In your opinion, how hard are raids going to be?
How hard are they going to be, or how hard do I hope they will be?
How hard are they going to be? How hard do we think Glue's actually going to pull the trigger?
Based on seeing the footage, you know, if they're putting out a raid boss on wave 3 of 4, that's level 250. That means there's something after it. Now, my logic, just math-wise, thinking, okay, one tune at 250, that's the amount of attacks or maybe power or collective attacks, if you will, that 5 level 50 tunes could put out. That's the way I think about it. Does it make mathematical sense? Maybe not so much, but if all 5 tunes attacked one tune, would be the equivalent of one smack from Ursula. That's how I'm approaching it in my head. If that's the case, I think that whatever's coming after, probably a level 350, or an enraged version or something of that nature. I hope, and I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Glue, because they are very good at listening to the community, that they are, all of us, are going to get our butts kicked. I really think that we are going to try and fail in a variety of different ways. One of them, I think that they will, that will restrict us, is they will give amplification to certain tunes that we have not put focus on in the game. I would not be surprised if all of a sudden, you know, they have a modifier on a wave or a level that for some reason Yzma and Kronk have a great boost, or Baloo has a boost, or Hopper, or Jangles, or all of these tunes that are the lower half of mm-hmm. the game, no matter who you talk to, just generally lower half characters, all of a sudden have a different boost because their methods and their specific passive or their specific special could explode in raids. And that's one of the things that this probably needed more than anything else, is right now we've been focusing so heavily on conquest and PvP that, you know, and then once you beat towers, towers are done. You're just hitting auto, or you're doing the same thing for all 13 levels, and you're just repetitive at that point. It needs something for us to go, okay, it's no longer this group of characters. Here's why you also should farm this group of characters, and what's more important to you for the next generation of players who are coming in, who are going to come into raids as if it's just a normal part of the game. They didn't have the before and after going on. There's going to be a completely different farm group mm-hmm. of focus again. And I hope that that's the case, that we're going to go into raid and realize we're not prepared, not because our characters aren't strong or because we don't understand the characters, but because we didn't think we were going to need this group.
Right.
I could see that being the biggest reason people get restricted.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that they're going to make the top bosses tier 8, level 70, or even level 80, because this would be a perfect opportunity to increase the level cap. So that way you can be guaranteed you're going up against a tier 8, level 80, Ursula, you know, level 400, whatever you want to put it as, that even the top 5, 6 teams that are leaps and bounds in summoner score above everybody else, they even try and go, uh-oh, we're not ready.
Yep. I think that it's definitely a possibility. I think there's a big balancing act there between making it hard enough for hardcore, making it hard enough for the whales, making it hard enough for that top end, and making it accessible enough that your core player base isn't alienated by the content. I know that they had said that there's going to be multiple difficulties, so I think that'll alleviate some of it, but I think it'll be interesting to see how they execute, because at this point, that's what it all is going to come down to. Is it all is going to come down to, can Glue execute this well, or is this going to be a monumental failure?
Well, I don't think, either way, I don't think it's going to be a failure, because people have been hungry for the game mode, mm-hmm. not even necessarily the success of the game mode. I would not expect this to be 100% right off the bat the very first time, and no one should go into it with that expectation, because as a company, Glue is approaching it with that mindset that this needs to be as close to perfect, if not perfect, as they can make it. And I truly believe that these, you know, the top pay-to-play clusters or whales or krakens that are going to play in there, they're going to have the idea and the approach going into raids, maybe from other games, that when they apply it here, all of a sudden, hopefully, that logic doesn't apply. Because now you have to think about raids in a different way, because that's what Disney Sorcerer's Arena needs. And if Glue is really trying to make themselves stand out in this market against some of these very reputable games, mm-hmm. this is the moment to do it. And they're going to do it right. I have a very good feeling that we're going to go into this going, they did a good job. Here's the things that, and we're all going to have our comments. I would have changed this. I would have liked this, because hindsight is 2020.
Right.
And fixes are going to come. Do not be surprised if after the first raid, they take raids away for 2 weeks to make fixes. Don't be surprised about it, because I would not be I just wouldn't be surprised. I'll leave it at that. Because there's a lot of content, a lot of programming, a lot of artwork. And now you're putting in not only new characters, you're putting in new levels, you're putting in new effects, new game mode. It's not going to be perfect. So if it's that broken, that if they release it on a Friday and then the whole weekend goes by and we all go, wait, something's wrong, I would not be shocked if they revoked it, grayed out the node. They did it with PvP a couple of times where PvP was having issues. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Let's talk really quick. You wanted to tinfoil hat on the phrase of boost your team members and your feelings on that statement. So let's jump in and talk about that, and then we'll move up to sprucing up Main Street.
Yeah. So with boost your team members, there's two ways that you could approach that comment. The first being you want to get your club to a certain power, a certain summoner score, a certain tier, because they've talked about the term heroic tier, for example, in the Q&A with the devs. And they basically announced it as everyone will have access to raids, but depending on something, you will be able to access certain tiers of that raid. And I think the rewards will all be the same. Mm-hmm. It's just that, just like in Conquest, the increment of it might have a little bit of variation.
Right.
I would not too much, but I think it'll be enough where it would say, I want to make my club better because then we can get this reward. Not because I can't get it, but I can get it a little bit faster. Or there's going to be some kind of new currency, new ability, new something where people are saying they want to boost your team members. Well, how can you do so? Well, you only can submit so many teams and so many players, so many characters per raid, per player. So if that's the case and you only have, you're going into it with a 5-star roster, but you're in a team that everybody else is rocking 6 stars, are we going to have a way to exchange resources? Where, hey, you can trade me potions for gold, or you can trade me gems for this, and it kind of leads into the ideas of how we can spruce up the game too. But that would be interesting if you had those abilities to barter your resources, not even for even, obviously, in any way, but having a little bit of a downfall to be able to obtain more potions, more gold, more gems, more runes, more between your club mates. Because then it makes certain club mates way more valuable. It makes looking for clubs more valuable. It could completely change the game if you have any ability to exchange a resource between two people outside of buying gems for somebody else. Mm-hmm. It could mean something like that. Again, very tinfoil hat, but...
And it may literally be just raids are coming. We're going to implement these things. Here's the map. You can look at it and see what you need. Now you have 2 weeks to grind for what your map shows you need. And if I'm honest, that's more likely what we're going to see. But I would like to see something a little bit more interesting, just because I would like it to stand out. I'd like it to be a different kind of thing. That brings us in, though, to speaking of different kind of thing, something that stands out, into our new segment, which we're calling Sprucing Up Main Street. And these are the things we'd love to see in the game. Quality of life things. We talked about raids in an episode with regards to this. But for me, what I would like to see, and Matt, we've discussed this some on your stream, is an Agrabah's Traveling Bazaar event. And let me lay out a little bit of what I see this as. I would like to see a once-a-month event where it's themed like, you know, the peddler merchant from the beginning of Aladdin who walks in, you know, does the, you know, also makes Julian Fry's will not break, it broke guy, right, with his traveling tent. And I'd like to see it themed around that. You go in, it operates exactly the same way as our 9 million exchanges operate. But rather than gems for items, club coins for items, gold for items, PvP tokens for items, whatever. It is materials for other things. And like you mentioned, not the one-to-one exchange rate. But I'm sitting on almost 2 million level up potions that I have no use for. I'd love to be able to trade some of those level up potions into gold, or some of those level up potions into gear items at an exorbitant rate. Like being able to trade things, you know, or being able to trade them for tokens, you know, random tokens on a random set of characters would be super cool as a thing. I want it to be flavorful. I want it to be rare. I want it to be powerful. I want it to be something we're excited about. I want it to be something that's like, oh, you know, on X day of the month or X weekend of the month, you know, every third weekend of every month, we know that peddler's showing up with Agrivaz Traveling Bazaar. And we get hyped about that because what's he going to have and what can we trade? You know, what are your thoughts on something like that as an inclusion?
I think having a different accessibility to specific gear items is the biggest pull of it. And I also think that as we and many people have been exclaiming, we need some other resource for once you get past about level 50 or 55 is when you really truly realize, wow, I have a lot of potions. And then that feeling never goes away because the potions never go away. And neither do the tiny feather brooms. And then when you're in really, really late game, neither do the strange fibers. Like there's such a large surplus of specific items in the game that would be wonderful to say, hey, I can trade, you know, 500,000 potions for the equivalent of 160 gems, which would be about 15 heart essence, for example. Even if it was just a reduced down version of not just gems for gold and potions, but have gold and potions also be exchanged for gems as well as each other. Just a triangle of those three things, gems, potions, and gold, having some kind of exchange that you can only do during a specific time. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of being able to trade tokens or potions or, you know, broom for broom. You know, take some of the 1,000 tiny feather brooms that some of us have and kind of spread the wealth. Okay, I'll take some of the fire ones here. I'll take some of these white ones here and this and that. And then there's, I forget exactly what the name of it is, but the one broom that literally doesn't have a character that we still, for some reason, farm. And it's the name is just eluding me at the moment. But we have all these extra resources. And even if you're early game, even if you're mid game, you come to realize I have a lot of something. But if you're farming a specific character, like if you're farming Gigantu, and almost every gear tier of his has 4 different heart pieces, whether it's heart essence or, you know, health cloths or tiny feather brooms. Just having those parallel within each other that you can trade 20 of these for 5 of these once a month. Completely different accessibility to the game. And then there's a different strategy. There's different research. There's really, you know, what I call focus farming that you can do with your resources. And I would be excited to see something like that. Even if it was for character tokens, it would probably be at a much higher premium, whether it be for club coins or for a tournament exchange or literally outright club tokens. I think the biggest cry comes from potions, which is the inspiration behind all of it. And even in your list, it's the first one you wrote down too, because it's the one that probably comes to mind first for what you want to trade. Because you're a free-to-play, practically up until last week, pretty much, yep. A free-to-play player, and you're at level what right now?
50,
roughly?
56, I think.
56-ish? Okay, you've been playing about 2.5 months.
Yep.
3.5 months. So even with that, that's not launch time. That's not investing heavily, and you still are sitting on 2 million potions.
Yep. 2 million potions.
Imagine what those could turn into.
I mean, just the ability, like, even if all it did right? I mean, I want it to do a lot of things. I want it to be a cool thing. But even if all it did was let me turn potions into gold at a 10 to 1 rate, right? Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because I would be able to do something with it. But, you know, I want to see potions into gold. I want to see potions into gear. I want to see potions into random, and not like, not Elsa, not Baymax, not something stupid, but, you know, potions into characters. Hell, give me potions into the ultimate chest tokens, right? Let me trade X amount of potions into 10 ultimate chest tokens. Because, I mean, chances are I'm going to get Baloo. But you know what? I'll take Baloo tokens over 2 million potions that sit and do nothing in my bank. I want to see the ability to say, hey, I've got 800 strange fibers. Because I have 800 strange fibers as a player at my game point. When I finally hit level 50 and went on my open all of my grand campaign chests, I got nothing but strange fibers for like 25, 30 chests in a row. And so I have all these strange fibers, and I do use some of them, but I don't use a ton of them. I'd love to be able to say, take 25 strange fibers and give me a droplet, right? Mm-hmm. Let me give you this and turn it into that. Like, the exchange rate can be big. It doesn't have to be one-to-one. It shouldn't be one-to-one. No. It needs to be something you think about. But every once in a while, put the surprise in there. I played World of Warcraft for a lot of years, and they had something in that game called the Black Market Auction House. And for the most part, you ignored the fact that it existed unless you had a lot of money. But every once in a while, something would go up on that Black Market Auction House that you couldn't get anymore in the game. It would be something that came from 8 years ago in a raid that no longer existed. Or it was a mount that was virtually impossible to obtain, had like a 1% drop rate in some really long thing. And you could, and in that case, you bid on it. And I don't want a bidding system. That would be nonsense. But it would be super interesting if just, if you're paying attention, right? It comes in and you give him, flavor-wise, you give the peddler an inventory and you give him an amount, right? Because, I mean, you can't say, ah, yes, 25 strange fibers for one droplet. Okay, I got a lot of strange fibers. I'm walking out of here with a lot of droplets. You set a max of 5. You can only make this exchange 5 times per event. That's fine. It's still a cool thing. But every once in a while, put something super sweet in there. Put a skin in there, right? Put one of costumes. Put, you know, some amount of tokens for a hard-to-farm character in there. And just give us something cool to chase. And all of a sudden, you have an event that, A, everybody's clamoring for, B, people are super excited about, and D, content creators advertise your game by making strategy guides about how to best invest in Agrabah's Traveling Bazaar. And in reality, if there's one thing I hope Glue has realized at this point, it's that content creators are the best marketing engine they've got, and they need to be doing things that make content creators' lives easier. And these kind of guides, how to best invest in X, will do that. So those are my thoughts on Agrabah's Traveling Bazaar, thing that I would like to see, a thing that I think would spruce up the game, as we say. Good quality of life, fun thing to look at. Anything else you want to talk about on Traveling Bazaar?
I mean, the idea that you had of, you know, taking like a page out of World of Warcraft. Yeah, having those final pieces come into play where it could be, you know, maybe not necessarily a droplet or a cloth or something like that, but like the free stuff, randomly thrown in there, like they started to do with the Stitch Tower, for example. The first Stitch Tower or so, they didn't do it. And then all of a sudden, in the store, in the pay-to-play area, they put free tower energy. Just 60 energy. It's not going to make or break your farm, but it was just a nice little a nugget. And to have something like that, where all of a sudden, hey, this go-around, you could trade X amount of fibers for grand campaign energy. People would lose their minds over that possibility of getting more grand campaign energy, because that right now is one of the most valuable resources to gain, because it's so slow.
And imagine if it was a consumable. Imagine if rather being at this moment, you get grand campaign energy, but you get essentially a grand campaign energy voucher that when 2x event in double in grand rolls around, you can pop your voucher because you had the foresight. I think that I would love that as a thing. I mean, I would getting just grand campaign energy for, you know, tiny feather brooms or strange fibers that I'm sitting on would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But it was another idea that I had for future was, you know, we have our refreshes, right? We have our 50 gem refreshes up to the tier, and then 100 gems and whatever. I'd pay 75 gems if I could bank that refresh until I needed it. Because if I have one more time where Glue announces a 2x token on me right after I spend all my attempts.
Oh, man, I know.
I'm going to go ballistic, right?
Yep.
But if I could bank a refresh, you know, that would be, it'd be super cool to hit those kind of things as a thing. You'd make more at one point, you'd lose a little bit, but yeah. I would really like to see an Agrabah's Traveling Bazaar. I would like them to do some cool stuff with it. I would like it to be very Disney flavored, which I feel like we've done that work for you, Glue. We really have.
We gave you the theming, we gave you the logistics, you just gotta figure out
just program it.
The ratios, which is gonna be the hardest part, is what value is what? How many of these is equivalent to
I mean, and that can be adjusted as time goes on, right? You could learn, they can very much launch it and watch the metrics on it and be like, oh man, people bought the crap out of this. We may have priced it too low. Nobody bought this. Maybe it's priced too high and you tweak it. The bazaar should not be the same every time. The bazaar should change every time it comes back. And even as someone who wants leveling potions to gold functionality, if you gave me the bazaar and it had that like every 1 out of 3 times, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I can live with that. But give me the bazaar and make it cool.
I was gonna say, even if it was just a small variation, as for example, if you're in the game and you're going to level up a character from 5-star to 6-star, now typically you need 500,000 gold. A lot of people don't realize that if you have, let's say, 300,000 gold and then x amount of gems, just make up a number, you can still click that button that says pay the 500,000 gold. And then another prompt pops up saying, you're short this amount. Do you want to convert exactly this many gems? And it's the same, pretty much the same arc ratio as the 220, 550, you know, 1300 to finish off this character and get them to that star. Even just a simple prompt conversion like that, it's already in the game.
I've done it. To be able to make it twice in the past 2 days.
Yeah.
Got you done with my daily Scrooge's Muttering Bin and went, aha, we can now boost Fred to 6 stars. Then got done with my daily Scrooge's Muttering Bin today and said, and now we can boost Honey Lemon to 6 stars. And it cost me like...
I did Wasabi and Fred, same exact thing.
Cost me like 85 gems today, but I was like, don't care. Get them to 6 stars. Make it happen.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to buy that perfect pack that's only... You have to use exactly 220 in gems. It'll get you this amount of gold, and it's just, you don't need that, because they have those types of ratio mechanics already in the game. Just tweak them for this kind of, you know, bazaar.
Let's do something cool. All right, well, let's get on out of here. It's a little bit shorter episode, but news was light this week. We're waiting on raids, because you know what?
Are you ready to raid?
I'm ready to raid. You're ready
too,
to
man. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's ready to raid. So, thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode of Main Street DSA, a Disney Sorcerer's Arena podcast. I have been your host, Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial. You can find me on Twitter at ET_GamingYT. You can also find me on YouTube, where this podcast is hosted, by searching Extraterrestrial Gaming on YouTube. I make this podcast. I have several other podcasts in the works for a couple of other things. Destiny is one of those things among a couple of others. So if you have interest in those things or you just enjoy podcasts, check me out. I also will be streaming those podcast creations specifically, as well as possibly some gamings, on my Twitch, aka Extraterrestrial, especially the first few weeks of Beyond Light's launch for Destiny. So if you're a Destiny fan, which I know there are some out there, I literally played against a Destiny-based clan in live PvP today. You can check that out with me. And as always, I want to thank my guest, Matt Strebel. Matt, go ahead and give us where we can find you on the internet, what you're doing, all that stuff.
Yeah. Easiest thing right now, I try to keep it simple. I am exclusive on Twitch, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Next week, we're switching it up a little bit, where we're adding in a Thursday stream where we have a giant content creator evening. That'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursday, November 12th. We have 10 content creators that are coming together to play Among Us. And anyone from, you know, a veteran like Cozy Gamer and KMDN to some new players who have just started in the community, like Fabi, for example, or Dragonslayer. And we're trying to get a nice mixture of people to introduce more points of view of this game with different resources. But the most common way to be able to enjoy it all together is by doing Stabby Stab with Among Us. So we decided to take that avenue route, and it hopefully is going to be something that we continue on once a month or once every couple of weeks, and we have more content creators that already are interested and want to take part in it. So we're looking to make this something different and better for next week. So look for me on Twitch Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and next week we're also going to add Thursday into the mix.
Yep, that's at twitch.tv/EdnaMode_and_guest. Links will be down in the description, as well as links to the EdnaMode family community Discord, where you can come hang out and chat with people and all that. Yep, like us. We're both there. Some of us more often than others, specifically Matt.
Hey.
But until next time, everybody, thanks again for joining us. Good night. Good luck. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Love one another. Most importantly, peace on Earth, Earthlings. Bye, everybody.